All right, welcome back. Now, see, it's a new day. It's a new day, a dawning here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And as I mentioned, we are here every single day, Monday through Friday, from 10 o'clock in the evening Pacific time until 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, and 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. All right, in a moment here, we're going to be getting one of our users from either Facebook or from Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, dude, you're not going to tell nobody yet.
Well, what we thought we would do, Phil, can I tell him?
Go ahead.
Phil, what I thought, I thought I'd take this over because I can see that Bud and Robert were, I'm sorry, but they were making garbage out of it. And
well, we don't know what we're doing.
See, you hear what they don't know what they're doing. What I thought I would do is I would sing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, catch, by the toe.
By the toe?
Well, you can't say the word.
You can say tiger.
Yeah, you know tiger?
Well, I've never heard that.
Well, then, if the only version you ever heard was the offensive one, why would you even consider singing that?
Because that's how you choose people. Oh, my God. Haven't you ever been in a group where eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a you-know-what by the toe? And
no, I haven't. There's many different ways of doing it. Okay, and you can say catch a tiger by the toe. You don't have to say the offensive word.
Well, I don't know, so I always go catch a, you know.
Well, that's really great, Margaret. Nice liberal way of thinking there.
No. Listen, friend, you got the fresh meat, okay? Not me.
Oh, get a load of you.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Boy, what is this, like a platoon or something, an Oliver Stone movie? Just go ahead and do what you're going to do.
All right. So we're going to go, are we going to go to Twitter? Are we going to go to Facebook? Are we going to go to Twitter? Are we going to do Facebook? And I'm going to go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger. Okay. Sounds.
Yeah, that's fine.
By the toe, if he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
But you see, she does it too fast because you got eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Well, who cares, bud?
Well, you got to do it right.
What do you mean I got to do it right?
We're going to eeny, meeny, miny, moe, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, because you're going to miss a beat.
I'll miss a beat, and so what? The gods of eeny, meeny, miny, moe are going to come down from heaven and slay me?
Well, you got to do it right if you don't do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. If you go like this, if you go here.
Don't breathe on me, Robert.
Sorry.
He had clam sauce. He did. He had linguine with clam sauce.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did, because you always talk about clam sauce, so I got some. If you go like this, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You just skip like three beats.
Yeah, that's what you've been trying to say for the last half hour.
All right, fine.
Why don't you do it the right way?
Because I thought I'd save time.
Oh, big deal. How much time are you going to save? Just do it right.
All right, on this side represents Twitter. On this side represents Facebook. Are you ready? Are you ready, Phil Hendry?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Eeny, meeny, no, I didn't.
Don't do eeny, meeny.
I heard you. God, don't sound like, you sound like somebody waiting in line with a church group, and only you're with the group that's at the back, and all of you are looking at the sky or looking at your feet. That's what you sound like, Bud, when you go like that.
But I did what?
When you go, eeny, meeny. All right, here we go.
That was really offensive, by the way.
What was?
You're with a church group, and you're with the group at the back, and all of you are either looking at the sky or looking at your...
You find it funny. Here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a you-know-what by the toe. If...
No, come on, man. Now do it. Do it, tiger, okay?
What is with you, Phil?
Do it. Don't do it that way. You draw attention to it, and I don't like it, and I told you.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I've been ready.
Oh, you look like you've got a lot of anticipation going there. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of anticipation.
All right. Eeny, meeny, I'm sorry, I did it wrong.
I'm gonna do it myself.
You're gonna do it yourself?
Yes, if you don't do it right.
All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, give me that.
I want to do it.
No, I'm doing it. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, my mother told me that you...
Wait, what is that, man?
You always do, my mother told me, to pick the very best one.
See? I told you he'd do it in a jacked-up way, and you didn't believe me.
Margaret, I owe you an apology. I thought Phil would do way more fair than you, and he didn't do it.
What am I doing that's wrong, man? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. You always add, my mother told me. Okay?
Do you realize how gay you sound, all three of you men? I'm trying to get this over with.
I'm just telling you, you're trying to get it over with by trying to slip in the offensive version. Now, you're going to do it the way I tell you to do it, and we're going to finish it here and now. You ready?
Yes. What a... Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, my mother told me to pick the very best one, and that means you.
Facebook.
All right.
Yay, Facebook.
All right. And now we are going to pick the Facebook... whatever the hell you want to call it, the winner from our Facebook likes. These are all the people that have been on Facebook with us, all of the folks that have joined us. Low these just a few, actually, weeks since we really started asking people to go over and be on Facebook with us. So where are all the people? How do we get to the actual people?
Right here.
Okay. So here are the people that we have on Facebook. And you have to draw their names from there, bud. So, you know, do you have, how are you going to do that?
Gonna have to get to the list of the people that are likes, and then you draw the names.
Okay, so where are the list of the here are the people. This is how many we have on our like page so far. It's whatever it is. It's 1,861. Boy, that ain't that many.
Well, you just started. You weren't really pimping it, as the kids say.
I wasn't really pimping it. Okay, well, we're pimping it now, man. So
yeah, I gotta find out how you find the people and the people.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, here's a list of all the people that like. Well, you figure that out and get back to me, okay? So there you go. Congratulations to whoever it is we finally pick off the Facebook page. This has taken longer than I wanted it to take. You understand that?
Well, Phil, it takes time.
Yeah, it takes time to figure out everything that has to be done.
Oh, get out of here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a... In other news, ladies and gentlemen... this California man who made this movie. Now, this guy, I don't know what this cat's story is. I mean, it's one thing to make a movie, and that's fine. You can make a movie. Now, this guy who made the anti-Muslim film has been jailed over, quote, probation. An Egyptian-American man behind an anti-Islam film that has stoked violent protests across the Muslim world was arrested on Thursday in California for allegedly violating his probation, and a federal judge ordered him jailed without bond. Nakula Basali Nakula was taken into custody at an undisclosed location by U.S. Marshals and brought to court in Los Angeles, still wearing his street clothes, but handcuffed and shackled at the waist. Nakula has been under investigation by probation officials looking into whether he violated the terms of his 2011 release from prison on a bank fraud conviction while making the film, though authorities have said they were not probing the movie itself.
Why'd he say that?
Well, I think they say that because even in America, there are some news people and probably citizens and other concerned people who want to make sure that the man is not being harassed legally for exercising his right to free speech. Not that I particularly agree with this film or don't agree with this film, because frankly, I haven't seen it.
What do you think about it?
I don't have an opinion. I haven't seen it.
Well, but that's not the question. What do you think of the film?
I haven't seen it. How can I have an opinion on it?
Well, certainly you have an opinion on the violence.
Look, violence is going to happen. Here's what my problem. Any government, any country, any society that says the exercising of free speech, the exercising of a person's right to free speech can at times cause people to commit acts of violence and murder, and that's understandable, and therefore cannot guarantee the protection of people, that's, I got a problem with that. And I've gone the other way with this. What if this guy was a Nazi and he was talking about anti-Semitism and it was really cool what happened in World War II, and the guy made a whole movie about how funny it was that Jews were put in ovens? In other words, something that is, that it personally, for whatever reason, personally would make me really pissed off.
You ain't pissed off about being Muslims?
I haven't seen the movie, man, so I have to take this I have to take into consideration, well, what would make me feel? I haven't seen this flick, so what would make me emotionally want to go out and kill somebody? If some cat made a movie that mocked the Holocaust, I got to sit there and say, well, now I'm all pissed off and I want to go kill this guy, but is that in a free society? Well, we have a thing called hate speech, don't we? We have a thing called hate speech that we say people are not protected if they engage in. And so is that the same thing here? Well, we arrest people who are engaged in certain kinds of hate speech. But the one thing that we never, ever, ever allow, we never allow people to get so incensed by someone's speech that they're allowed to go out and kill. We never allow that. And that's where I would draw the line myself, even if it was somebody who had done something or said something that's really pissed me off. All right, we're going to come back with the winner of our, after all of this time, you got a winner picked?
They're going to go do it right now.
The winner of our year's backstage pass. God, is this eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. My mother told me.
We may have to do it again.
Yeah, we might have to do it again, but
no, we're not doing anything again. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, we'll have the winner.
Truth is our bitch.
I just had deja vu.
Show.
When? Just now. And now?
And now.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right. Got a winner here, and the winner of a full year of backstage pass. Sorry it took so long. Never again are we doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. We're just going to spin a bottle or something.
Well, I don't see what's wrong with it.
It's wrong when we got to have an... We argue over everything on this show, let's face it. We argue about everything on this stupid show. But when we have to argue about eeny, meeny, miny, moe, how that's sung...
Well, Phil, you made the issue out of it.
No, I did. Anyway, here it is. The winner is Denise Aaron. Denise Aaron is the winner of a backstage pass from the world-famous Phil Henry Show for 1 year. And Denise is one of our very, very fine folks who was one of the people that liked us on Facebook. And we had done that whole eeny, meeny, miny, mo bull crap.
God, man. I thought it worked out good.
Yeah, that's great, man. Anyway, Denise Aaron is the winner, and Denise will win a whole year of a backstage pass. We got to find out where she's from, man, because, oh, here's Denise right here. Let's find out where Denise is from. And you haven't finished your post yet. Well, I don't want to finish my post yet. I want to find out about Denise. She lives in Jasper, Alabama, and she's got a husband named James, and seems like a very nice lady. She's got a picture of a flower on her Facebook page. Anyway, Denise, you're our winner of a backstage pass for a year to the Phil Henry Show website. Now, we are going to be drawing for other winners for other backstage passes, so stick around. The other thing that we'll also have is a free weekend that we're going to be doing very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. People like the free day of a free weekend.
Of course. People like free. Free is good. Free is a good thing. So we're going to do a free weekend. What I mean by that is we will open the entire website up to anybody that wants to come over and access our media, whether it is audio, whether it is video. And remember that we are, you know, within 24 hours of having Apple compatibility for on-demand video, for our on-demand media. So whatever it is you want to go over and just look at on demand, whether it is a part of our video casts, whether it is a part of our audio, whatever, it will be compatible there for your iPhone, as well as, in fact, we are already compatible on the iPhone for audio. I listen to our podcast all the time. It's our video that will be available on demand for your iPhone, your iPad, anything that starts with the letter I and is small, and then the next one is a big letter, I don't know.
Yeah, and then I was stopped by Mr. Jobs, the man, you know, Steve Jobs, the man.
Hold on, Phil. Robert, you had a little speech that you prepared. Why don't you give that?
Wait a minute, Margaret.
No, let Robert, because he wanted to tell people about the on-demand.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know that...
Do it the way you did it last night.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I want everyone to know that on a website... The Phil Henry Show website, on-demand video cast, on-demand Phil TV video cast in the video archive will be available on your iPhone, on your iPad, or any product that Steve Jobs, in his wisdom, and in his vision has seen fit to develop and to give to the electronic and media consumer of not only America, and not only this great country America, but also around the world, not only the country we so dearly love, but all the people around the world and every country around the world. So help me God.
Yay!
I love that.
That's great.
Thank you.
Well, that was beautiful, Robert. When did you write that?
I didn't write it. I just made it up.
Right now?
Yeah. Boo. Why are you saying boo?
Because I didn't know you could ad-lib that good.
All right. He ad-libbed. That was very good, especially for an ad-lib. All right. So getting back to our good personal friend here, this guy that got busted, this Mr. Nakula. Now, this is the cat that made the anti-Muslim movie. The court has a lack of trust in the defendant at this time. This guy was put inside for bank fraud. He was put on probation. The court says the judge, the U.S. magistrate Suzanne Seagal, or Siegel, this was in Los Angeles.
You related to Steven Seagal?
No, I don't. I'll be willing to bet no, she isn't.
That's probably Siegel.
Yeah, okay, Suzanne Siegel. Anyway, the court has a lack of trust in the defendant at this time, she said, in refusing Nakula's request for bail at a hearing in U.S. District Court. His crudely made 13-minute video was filmed in California and circulated online under several titles, including Innocence of Muslims. It portrays the Prophet Muhammad as a fool and a sexual deviant. The clip sparked a torrent of anti-American unrest in Egypt, Libya, and dozens of other Muslim countries over the past 2 weeks. The violence coincided with an attack on a U.S. diplomatic facility in Benghazi that killed 4 Americans, including the U.S. ambassador in Libya. You know, one of the other things about any kind of multimedia, any sort of art, is the following thing. How well was it done? How understandable? You see, I got to be honest with you, man. Satanic Verses, written by Salman Rushdie, might be a great book. It might not be a great... I don't know, because I found it incomprehensible. I tried to read it, and it bored the hell out of me, and I didn't give a damn, and I just put it aside. Now, do I believe that the man should be, you know, of course not. I don't think he should be murdered.
What are you talking about?
This was the Salman Rushdie thing back in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was in the late 80s. Salman Rushdie was an author, a British-based, I believe Iranian author, who wrote this book called Satanic Verses, and the book so offended the imam in Iran at that time, Ayatollah Khomeini, that he issued a fatwa saying that a son of Islam should go and find this man and kill him. Now, this apparently is according to whatever Islamic law the imam of Iran believes is the Islamic law. I don't know, man. It's like Christian law. You can run afoul of it and say this is it and this ain't it and this is it and that ain't it. And somebody else says something else. And if you get it wrong, everybody gets pissed off. Religion is both. Religion can be violent and threatening and not make any sense at all, and be utterly and completely asinine at times, as articulated by its proponents, and there's nothing you can do about it. You either get it or you don't. And that's the thing that I find the most upsetting and the most offensive, not about religion, but about the people that promote it.
Well, what's the difference in your mind?
The difference in my mind, I don't find a problem with religion. I find a problem with some of the sacks of garbage that run around saying that they're this, that, or something else. You know, I'm a Christian, somebody might say. Well, I think that's really presumptuous to call yourself a Christian, you know, because I think that to be a Christian, there's certain things that you need to practice. There's a certain lifestyle you need to lead. And to be honest with you, maybe one of the things that is necessary to be a Christian is not to call yourself a Christian, because that draws attention. To me, that's an ego trip, you know.
Yeah, but people are going to call themselves a Christian. That's what they are.
Yeah, but what if people stop with that and just be that, be a Christian? And the same thing with Muslims. The same thing with Muslims. There's no difference with Muslims. Muslims walk around wearing their costume, and they got a...
Better people have a dot on their head.
That ain't Muslim, man.
That's not Muslims. Those are Hindu people. But the fact is, people get so heavy into their costume and into their makeup and into their footwear and into their hatwear.
Well, what religion requires footwear?
What religion requires... I'm just... I'm using an example market. I'm hearing music. All right, it's time to break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to find out if religion has footwear.
Yeah, man, here's my footwear.
Yeah, put the footwear up a guy's butt. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Phil Hendry.
Let's have little Ian Anderson, who we have had on our program from time to time, to talk with us about the... He doesn't just talk with us about British issues, but I think probably, you know, but...
Yeah, this time Ian probably be good on it.
I don't know who this is.
Little Ian Anderson is a listener of ours who's from Great Britain, but he's talked to us about a lot of stuff, but he never... We don't put him on the air specifically to talk about British stuff, but I don't know where... Have you got him?
Yeah, I can online too.
Little Ian Anderson here from the South Bay. Ian, how are you?
Elvis Henry, it's good to be on your program. Thank you.
And do you know about, we were sitting here talking about the Royal Guardsmen in Great Britain, in London, the ones that guard the palace? You know the guys that I'm talking about?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Yeah, do you know the Royal Guardsmen that guard the palace?
Right, yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about?
Right, yeah, the blokes, they've got a big high hat. It's like a big high hat.
Yeah, they wear a big fur hat.
Right. That's right.
Okay. I just saw a couple of these guys, and they were holding submachine guns.
Right. It's a special branch, you know, of the Ten Left here. I got home at working today, and so I was working late, and so we're driving home sort of late tonight.
Where were you working?
I was working down in Del Mar.
You're in Del Mar?
Yeah.
So, what about these Royal Guardsmen? I saw them holding these Uzis.
Right. The Uzis are special issue like weapons, right? And they're special issue weapon for the Royal Guardsmen, right? And the reason why they hold the Uzi, right, is because of the type of duty, right, that they do. Because my brother was in the British Army, right, and
your brother was in the British Army?
Right.
Was he wasn't a guardsman?
No, he was stationed in Belize. He was stationed in Belize. It did, like, rescue operations in Belize because of a hurricane and some rescue operation for people that were put out of their houses on account of the hurricane down there.
Okay.
And then he went to the Falklands and different places like that. He went to the Middle East, too.
Okay.
But the Guardsman is different. The Guardsman is a special branch of the British Army, and they guard the Queen and the royal family.
Okay. And so seeing them standing there in front of the castle, I guess, or not the castle, the palace...
Yeah, that's right. It's Buckingham Palace.
Okay, and seeing them standing there with Uzis, it made me it reminded me that they are in point of fact on actual guard duty. They're not just there as a tourist attraction.
Right, right. A lot of people think that the Royal Guardsmen are like going to Disneyland, right?
And, right.
And so they go. You go to Disneyland, right, and you see like Mickey Mouse, or you see Donald Duck, or something like this, right? But it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. You go to Buckingham Palace, or you go to Windsor Castle, or Strandingham, or any of the royal residences, right? And they are there to protect the royal family. And it would be almost like if Mickey Mouse was carrying a gun. Well, it's not going to carry a gun, you know. Mickey Mouse is not going to carry a gun because that's not why Mickey Mouse is there. But the Royal Guardsman is there to protect the royal family, right? But I think they, over the years, the royal family has gotten a, or not the royal family, the guardsmen, the Buckingham Palace, the Royal Guardsmen, right, they've got a reputation, right, of being like, almost like sort of a cartoon, right?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of people that they always make this big thing about how the Royal Guardsmen don't move.
Right. Yeah. Like a lot of tourists will go up to a Royal Guardsman, right, and will try and make him laugh, right, or they'll do some dance or they'll do something. They try to make him laugh, or they'll try and make him twitch or fidget, or move, or something like that. Right, but a Royal Guardsman is there to guard the Queen, or guard the King, or guard the Royal Family, right?
And well, so what happens to them if they move? Is there some big penalty or something?
Well, you're not allowed to behave in any way other than strict military protocol, right? And you've got to adhere to that at all times. And so if you stand there and you're on guard duty in front of the Royal Palace, And all you're doing is laughing or singing or taking pictures or this or that, well, it's not very safe for the Royal Family.
And okay, so do they tell them not to move?
Well, they tell them not to move, so they get used to being on the military, you know, a duty, right? And they're not fooling about, right?
Yeah, so they're used to being just in military form, and they never are out of that.
Right, that's right. You're never out of the mindset of being a guardsman of the Royal Family, because like a lot of people down through the years, right, have tried to kill like members of the Royal Family, and they even did when they killed member of the Royal Family of who was killed by the IRA, you know.
Oh, that was, oh man, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He was killed while he was out fishing. And that was terrible. That was terrible, you know. So that happened. And also, if people go up and start to bother the Royal Guardsmen while they're trying to protect the Royal Family, they've given them those Uzis, right? And if you're dead distracted enough and they open up with an Uzi, right, it's not their fault. It's no one's fault but the tourists. For what they done.
And what are you saying now?
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm saying that if you are up bothering him, right, and he's trying to protect the Royal Family, and he opens up with a Uzi, you got no one to blame but yourself. Isn't that right?
Now, what are you talking about, man? If I go up to a Royal Guardsman in London?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and they're guarding the Royal Family, the Buckingham Palace, and I make the guy laugh, or I'm screwing up. I don't deserve to die.
Well, I'm not saying you deserve to die or anything like that. I'm just saying that if he's got a Uzi and his job is to protect a royal family, and all you're doing is standing and you're mincing about and you're dancing about, right? And you're trying to make him laugh. Or you're trying to do something like that, right? And you're acting the fool, right? And he finally says, "I can't take it anymore. You know, I can't stand it anymore." Right, something's got to give, right? Because I can't stand it any longer. And he opens up with a Uzi, right?
Well, wait, what do you mean he can't stand it any longer?
Well, he's got a job. He's supposed to do...
Yeah, I know he's got a job. He's got a job to protect... I understand the job that a Royal Guardsman has. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Okay. So I'm standing there, and maybe I'm the most obnoxious ass in the world, okay?
Well, I see a lot of Americans do this, right? A lot of Americans... They think it's funny, right? Because of I Love Lucy, right? If it wasn't for I Love Lucy, right? There were not a lot of Americans over there doing that, right? But all the Yank, there's one Yank bogey's over there that's trying to make a Royal Guardsman laugh, or trying to make a Royal Guardsman, right, you know, scratch his nose or scratch his butt or what have you, right? And all of the I Love Lucy, right? And
what do you mean I Love Lucy?
Eh?
What? This is Margaret Gray. Is your name Ian?
Right, yes, Ian.
Well, Ian, this is Margaret. What do you mean, I Love Lucy?
Well, it's like I Love Lucy, where they had I Love Lucy, right?
You mean the episode of I Love Lucy, where she tries to make
Right, it's the episode of I Love Lucy, try to make a Royal Guardsman laugh, right? And it got all these Americans, all of them come over, try and make a Royal Guardsman laugh, right? And he's trying to do his job. And his job is to protect the Royal Family. It's, very much very important part of being British, right? And so a very important part of being British, and Americans are trying to distract him from his job. And so he takes on Slinger Uzi and says, oh, well, it's enough of this, right? I have to put a stop to this. And he does. And so who can, no one's the wiser, right?
Well, what do you mean no one's the wiser? I would think...
What does that mean, man? If he opens up with an Uzi and kills a bunch of tourists, okay?
Right, well, he kills a bunch of tourists, but what was they doing? Right, what was they doing? They was trying to distract him.
And well, do you think that it's worth killing people if they're distracting you from, well...
Yeah, you're bloody right, because it's a royal family, and the Earl of Mountbatten, that's right, is a Lord Mountbatten, right?
That was the man who was killed by the IRA.
That's right. Lord Mountbatten was killed by the IRA. And who do you know, if people come over, like Americans, and they distract the Royal Guardsman, and he's fidgeting about, he's scratching his balls, whatever. And the next thing you know, someone's inside the palace, they blow the whole queen up. Well, not the queen, but, you know.
They blew the queen up. Okay, I understand. I don't think it would wash with any court in the world, including a British court, if a Royal Guardsman unslung the Uzi and started spraying all the tourists with bullets and killing all of them because they were distracting him and making him scratch his nose and laugh. I think that that man would be in big trouble.
You're not British, right? You're not British.
Well, Ian, this is Margaret again. What do you mean we're not British? We understand. Many of us love the Queen. I love the Queen. I love and adore the Queen.
Right. You say you love and adore the Queen. And yet you come over and you start scratching yourself, and like your lower women would do that, lift up their skirt and show it off, you know, like the taco.
Okay, watch it with the taco stuff, okay?
My God!
Well, it's not, a lot of American women would do that. When they come over to Britain, and they go, oh, look at, right, you know, you're a Royal Guardsman. Oh, you're not supposed to move, right? Well, see what you think it is, right? And they lift it up and they're all like, look at there, get a gander on this, you know? And the next thing you know, he's all looking at it and he's all hot and bothered and like that, and the IRA slipped in, and they've blown up everything. So it's very necessary, Mr. Henry, you know.
Well, I think, again, I don't think you're thinking very clearly, and I think that there are ways that the Royal Guardsmen have of protecting people beyond just spraying the tourists with bullets.
Well, it's a last resort. It's a last resort. If you can't stop, if you're standing there, you're trying to protect the Queen, you can't stop laughing, and you can't stop all these distractions, then you just unsling it, so I'll put an end to this, right? And I just start spraying all the bullet, right? And all the people are done, you say, right, there we go, right. It's all done now, right?
Yes, it's all done now, and they'd have that man in a mental ward.
No, he wouldn't. If he's protecting the Queen of England,
No, they'd have him in a nut house.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, I think they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Ian.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, Ian, he knows more about you do.
Well, I think that's preposterous.
But look, think about it, bud. Even if the guy scratches, if he's a Royal Guardsman and he's being distracted, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, bug off.
They're not allowed to do that, though.
What do you mean they're not allowed to do that? In other words, they're not allowed to talk or move, but they're allowed to take the Uzi and start spraying people with bullets.
Yeah. The whole rule is you can't move.
No, man. You can move if it means moving or unslinging the Uzi and killing people. I bet you can move. I bet you there's a rule that says you can move.
I don't know, man.
No, it's, you know, believe me. All right, we'll be back. What do you think the English are? You think they're crazy?
No, they're big. The English are more civilized than America.
And you think that's civilized, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. I don't
Truth
know where I went wrong with you
bitch.
Guys, but I went wrong.
The Phil Henry Show.
Right. I'll put a stop to this. Right. Right now.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And we're back here, and we just gave away a year of a BSP to Denise Aaron, who is a resident of Jasper, Alabama. Thank you very much as well, little Ian Anderson, for joining us.
You know that's the same name as the man that sang on Jethro Tull.
Yes, I know. But we call him Little Ian, so there is a difference.
Where do you meet that guy? I met him.
He's Bud's friend.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him, Bud?
I met him at the racetrack at Del Mar.
What did he do down there?
He was a hot walker.
He was a hot walker at Del Mar?
Yeah.
But they like used to be a jockey?
Yeah, he used to be a jockey in England.
He was a jockey, huh? We should have talked to him about horse racing when the Derby came around, man.
I told you, you aren't going to do that.
I don't remember you asking me. I apologize. So the next time when's the Breeders' Cup, man?
Breeders' Cup next month.
The Breeders' Cup is wonderful. Are they going to have that at the are they having that at the Indy 500?
The Breeders' Cup is a horse race.
Yes.
The Indy 500 is a car race.
All right, don't yell at me. Don't ever raise your voice to me.
All right, okay, we got it. All right. So, so the Breeders' Cup is in point of fact a horse race, and it's a series of horse races. Beginning with, I think, shorter distances and younger horses, and then it culminates, I believe, in a big three-year-old kind of stakes race, the kind of race that we're more familiar with, the big handicap races, you know. What, Margaret?
Well, what's the difference between what's the Indy 500?
That's an automobile race.
That's a car race.
No, no, no. I don't mean that. What's not that. The Indy... What is the race?
You talk about Kentucky?
Yes, the Kentucky Derby.
That's a horse race. The Derby is a race for three-year-olds. Okay? A handicap, I got it wrong. A handicap, I believe, is a race for any horse can enter a handicap. A handicap can be horses up to, like John Henry, the great John Henry was a horse that I used to watch. John Henry was an eight-year-old. And John Henry was a horse that really hadn't shown much of anything for a number of years. He was a gelding, as they called him.
What's that?
That's when they don't have their you-know-what.
Yeah, some male horses they do that to. But John Henry, all of a sudden, when he hit his eighth year, became a madman and won everything in sight. And he won the Arlington Million, and he won everything out on the West Coast here, and he won everything back east. And he was a crazy man, and he was an amazing horse. He was an eight-year-old, and he won these different these stakes races. But he was never in a Derby race because the Derbies, the Santa Anita Derby, the Kentucky Derby, are for three-year-olds. The Preakness and the Belmont, these are for three-year-old horses. And that's what, I hope I'm getting that right. I think I'm getting that right. And that's what those races represent. All right, we got a couple of other things that we'd like to do here before we leave the airwave. So did we update everybody on this Jack Ball who did the anti-Muslim film? Yeah, okay. Iran, there's all kinds of crazy-ass Middle Eastern news here. Iran claims a right to retaliate after Israel UN speech. Iran is warned it is ready to retaliate against attack after Israel's prime minister urged a red line to be drawn over its nuclear program. Benjamin Netanyahu told the UN...
Oh, wait a minute. This was when Benjamin Netanyahu had the picture of the bomb.
Well, I don't know. He gave a speech. Yeah.
Oh, that was ridiculous. I think that the Iranian people should, you know, laugh at that.
Why don't you just let me read this, okay?
Oh, am I getting into your comfort range here, Phil?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, I think Iran is being run right now by the biggest pack of clowns the world has known since the circus came to town. Okay, so don't start talking to me about what Netanyahu was doing and about the picture he had of the bomb. That guy that they got running Iran, that Ahmadinejad, you got to be kidding with him.
They are claiming their right to develop peaceful nuclear energy.
Oh, well. If you believe that, may I interest you in a bridge that I just saw over here? It's not mine, but I'll let you borrow it.
Phil, you don't have...
Yeah, tell me how I don't know what I'm talking about. In any event, Benjamin Netanyahu told the UN time was running out to stop Iran from having enough enriched uranium for a nuclear bomb. In response, Iran's deputy UN ambassador said his country was strong enough to defend itself. Israel and Western countries suspect Iran is seeking a nuclear capability. Tehran says its program is peaceful. Iranian deputy UN ambassador something said his country was strong enough to defend itself and reserves its full right to retaliate with full force against any attack, which basically means that Israel would wipe them off the face of the earth inside of a week.
Oh, right.
Anyway, Mr. Netanyahu told delegates at the annual meeting of the assembly that Iran could have enough material to make a nuclear bomb by the middle of next year, and a clear message needed to be sent to stop Tehran in its tracks. Well, anyway, there you go.
Well, what do you mean, there I go?
I mean, it's just a bunch of, it's the same back and forth, you know? It's Iran saying that they're going to develop this nuclear program, and it is Israel saying that country has said that they're going to wipe us off the face of the earth, and so if they try to develop a nuclear reactor, we're going to bomb the hell out of it, and that'll probably mean a war, and there you go.
Well, I don't think that Israel should be allowed...
You know, Margaret, don't, you know, not tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show was produced by myself and Dan Northcraft, and, of course, along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard, we do thank you for joining us. Congratulations again to the winner of the full free year of BSP. That is Denise Aaron. And we'll see you guys again tonight, although we are doing that one-man show thing, right?
Well, you have a rehearsal.
I've got a rehearsal of the one-man show, right. So, let's see. All right, well, I'll be in touch by way of our website, as usual. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Until I see you again, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.